Welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Naira Betts.
They're off the turn. They're into the stretch. Ain't No Elmer's Jungle Juice. Monday Call. Sconson right there. Bell's the one. Produced down the center of the track. Five across the track with a furlong to go. And Sconson puts her White Blaze in front. Bell's the one trying to run her down late. 100 yards to do it. Sconson digs down deep. Bell's the one surges late. Sconson still with a short lead. Bell's the one can't get by Sconson. Sconson in a thriller over Bell's the one. Monday Call was third. Jungle Juice was fourth.
Now, here's Bobby Newman.
Good evening, and welcome to tonight's edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview. It is Friday, November the 12th. Bobby Newman, along with Bob Nastanovich, taking you through 12 big races from around North America this evening. In the, I guess it would be the calm after the storm, Bob, as you know, we've been looking for months and months and months at Breeders' Cup 2021. Well, it came and went last weekend, but you know what? Great racing continues. We've got 12 great races once again this weekend, my friend.
Yeah, no, pretty cool races as well, I think. You know, there's some very good race meets going on right now. Everybody's in New York's pretty excited about Aqueduct. The public's able to go there for the first time with proof of vaccine in, what, about a year and a half. Churchill Fall Meet is always outstanding. The Bing Crosby meet at Del Mar, good action. Looks like they're kind of shutting down things at Woodbine, so it's kind of end of the meet feel of their stakes races. But I thought there's some, you know, pretty outstanding stakes races.
And as Bob mentioned, this is the first time that Aqueduct has been open to the public in, I believe, 20 months. Obviously, with the pandemic hitting, a lot of things were shut down in New York. But then Aqueduct served as a COVID site, as it were, whether it be a testing site or a vaccination site for many, many months. So this meet, which began yesterday on Thursday, the first time that fans have been able to actually go to the races at Aqueduct. And what a tale of 2 days makes. Beautiful weather for their opening day yesterday, not such beautiful weather for their second day today, and we'll see what that weather looks like this weekend. They've got some great stakes action both tomorrow and Sunday over at the Big A. Folks, all the best fall and winter horse racing awaits at tracks like Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, and at Aqueduct, as well as many, many more. And it all starts with Naira Betts. With Naira Betts, new users can enjoy a $200 sign-up deposit match bonus anytime. Just use promo code HRRN200, no spaces there, HRRN200, and get in the action today. That's promo code HRRN200 for a $200 sign-up deposit match anytime at NairaBetts.com. Okay, we've got three races we're going to look at in this first segment, Bob, and we'll start at the Big A, and their featured race tomorrow is scheduled for the turf, so we can only hope that Mother Nature is agreeable to turf racing this weekend at Aqueduct, because they've got the $150,000 Artie Schiller scheduled for race number 9 tomorrow, 1 mile on the turf course at Aqueduct, 3-year-olds and up here, and very nice field, big field. There were actually 12 who entered, a couple of them are main track only, so 10 of them who entered for the turf, and a very evenly matched field on paper.
Yeah, no, for $150,000, you got a lot of really classy horses, and generally this meet attracts a lot of quality horses before they go south for the winter, and they stick around for races like this, and there's all kinds of grade one and grade two placings in this field. It's a what I like to call a handicapping contest race. There's a number of different ways you can go. There's some serious quality. I think it's always important when you're handicapping races at the end of the season, particularly after Breeders' Cup, you sort of take note of which horses are still on the up and which horses are over the top and maybe need a break. There's a lot of horses here. If you look at their past performances, those performances are from the past, the recent past. A lot of them have had hard summers, and they may have already peaked. So you have to think about form cycles. There's a horse in here in particular who I really like, who's 8-1 in the morning line, called March to the Arch. Very classy horse, good enough to run in the Breeders' Cup Mile last year at Keeneland. He had a long break for whatever reason after that race last November 7th. He returned at his home base this season, which has been Woodbine, and has only run 4 races and looks to be gradually improving and in form for the Artie Schiller. Draws the four hole. Very capable connections of Dylan Davis and Mark Cassie, as I mentioned, a Live Oak homebred. And just looks like a horse that is almost guaranteed to close ground, and if the pace is lively enough, should have a live chance at a big price.
Okay, so Bob going with number four, March to the Arch at 8-1. I'm going to go just to the inside of that one with number three, Rinaldi, who's 6-1 on the morning line. I'm actually hoping the opposite, that the pace is not real hot, and Rinaldi is just able to get out in front of this field and keep on going. He's another one who has had a very light 2021 season, only three starts before tomorrow's Artie Schiller. He's a horse who always shows speed. Sometimes he keeps on going. Sometimes he's done by the time they get to the eighth pole. I like the fact that he's fresh off the layoff. I like the fact that I think he's the only speed, and we'll see how far Luis Saez can guide him along. Rinaldi for me, March to the Arch for Bob tomorrow in race number nine, the Artie Schiller over at Aqueduct. Let's jump down to Louisville and Churchill Downs, where they've got a big stake race tomorrow as well. The $300,000 Dream Supreme for the fillies and mares, sprinting six furlongs on the main track. Field of seven here, Bob, and we heard it on the in the open to the show, the victory by Sconson in this year's Open Mind, beating Bells the One and several others that day. Those two seem like they run against each other just about every other race that they race, and they're in this race tomorrow because they were both afraid of running against Gamin in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. Well, we all saw what happened to Gamin in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint, and I'm wondering if the connections of Sconson and Bells the One are kicking themselves now for not having gone in that race, figuring they were going to get plenty of pace to close at, just like CeCe did in riding that pace to victory. But they show up in the Dream Supreme. Sconson is 9-5, second choice on the line. Bells the One, the 7-5 favorite.
Yeah, no, it's a tremendous rivalry. I don't know exactly how many times these two have raced against each other, but they seem like they've basically been at maybe at least a half dozen times. I'd have to go through and count. Their form is they're pretty much just a great pair. Bell's the One is a horse that ran in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint, and she just edged Sconson last year for third place, so she got her Breeders' Cup placing. The trainer is a guy I know, Neil Pessin. It's the best horse that he trains, and he, like you mentioned, skipped the Breeders' Cup for this spot, thinking he was doing the right thing. And you know, both of these mares, I think Gamin scared off several horses, and I don't think there's really any regret. If you look at the form for both of these are very much horses that have excelled in Kentucky. Of course, Bell's the One went to Saratoga this summer and closed like a freight train to win the Honorable Miss. Sconson actually might be slightly better at Churchill, and Bell's the One, I think, would have the edge at Keeneland, which makes their rivalry that much more intriguing. There is an up-and-comer in the race, a horse that is improving as a five-year-old called Club Car, who gets in the mix, who was only beaten a neck and closed through traffic against Bell's the One in the Grade 2 Thoroughbred Club of America last time, October 9th at Keeneland. I land on Bell's the One. I love her. She's a dear friend of mine in terms of being a horse that I've followed since the start of her career. She's 10-21. She's as honest as they come. I think that the pace in here will be lively enough with Frank's Rocket. Actually, as you probably noted, we've got the 1-2 from the Sailor Villain here. Blinkers for Kelly and Armando Martinez, who is claimed for $30,000 after running second in the Sailor Villain at Prairie. And Frank's Rocket, who won the race, who really can only be described as kind of, at this point in her career, a frustrating sort. I think that they thought going to the Breeders' Cup last year, in which she was 80-1 in the Breeders' Cup Sprint when she raced against Whitmore, that she was going to be a superstar this year, and that hasn't really panned out. So she ends up in a race like this, which is, you know, a very, very good competitive race. There's speed and from the three-horse Vintage Ready. All in all, I think that we can expect Bell's the One under her regular rider, Corey Lannery, to be closing down the center of the track, and I think that 7-5 probably – a correct assessment of where she'll go up, but I think she'll be a little bit longer than Sconson. I think she'll get the best of her this time around.
Okay, so Bob going with number six, Bell's the one. Both of these fillies are very, very competitive. I went to number four, Sconson, only for the fact that I think Bell's the one will have to pass Sconson again, and I'm not really sure that Bell's the one wants to have to pass Sconson. Sconson's pretty tough. She doesn't let too many of them by her. Of course, she's been beaten by Bell's the one in the past, but I think they're very, very similar. I'm going to go with Sconson. I think she's going to be in front of Bell's the one and tough to catch. So Sconson for me, Bell's the one for Bob in the Dream Supreme Race 10 tomorrow over at Churchill Downs. Let's fly out west to Del Mar, and their featured race tomorrow is the Desi Arnaz Stakes, two-year-old fillies, going 6.5 furlongs for a purse of $100,000. Just a field of five, Bob, and Bob Baffert's got two of the five runners in here, including the 3-5 favorite, Ada.
Familiar theme in these two-year-old races this weekend at Del Mar. Unfortunately, in both cases, they've both drawn five horses. These are the two-year-old fillies. John Sheriffs has a maiden in here, breaks from the one hole. A very nice daughter of Into Mischief out of a Malibu moon mare called Lady T, who's run two outstanding seconds, the last one behind who will be the heavy favorite in here, Ida. And it's hard to make a case for anyone else other than those two, unless you're a huge fan of Under the Stars, who's a once race maiden for Baffert by Pioneer of the Nile. It just looks like Ida should be able to clear them from the five hole and cross over and completely control the race over Flavian Pratt, and that should be good enough. If anybody has the speed to go with her for even a little while, it would be her stablemate, so I can't really see that happening. So the race just looks completely at the mercy of the favorite. And if I had to play this race, I would play a 5-1 exacta. I think that it'll be basically the same result as the Enochia on October 24th. There's no shame in a $20 exacta 5-1 that pays for $480. That would be my angle in here. You can see that Lady T was 7.25 clear of Benedict Canyon last time, so she's very good, and she'll probably be a better filly next year. But this race and this pace scenario sets up perfectly for Ida. How do you want to call it, Bobby? Eda, Ada, Ida, Ada.
Well, that's close. Whatever it is, I think she's going to win as well. And for everything you said, I think it's just hard to get past the fact that somebody's going to have to be a lot faster earlier on to press her than what they've shown thus far, and I think Ida's going to be able to clear this field from the outside. And we saw last time out when she gets the lead, she's a pretty tough customer, and she went on impressively in the Enochia. I think she will win the Desi Arnaz as well. Ida for both Bob and myself in tomorrow's Desi Arnaz Race 8 over where the turf meets the surf at beautiful Del Mar. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll head out for some more Saturday action, both at Golden Gate and at Woodbine. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premium perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Coming this November, it's the America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards. Covering the best of the sport and lifestyle, all decided by the fans. Here's your chance to vote. The America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards.
Champions are returning to Gulfstream for the championship meet starting December 3rd until April 3rd. Witness the best thoroughbred racing Wednesday through Sunday with weekly stakes races. Returning for its sixth year this January is the 2022 Pegasus World Cup with world-class racing, delectable cuisine, stunning celebrities, and iconic fashion. New for 2022 is the third graded stakes race, the Pegasus Turf for fillies and mares with a $500,000 purse. Tickets go on sale November 8th. Visit PegasusWorldCup.com to learn more and get tickets.
Hey everyone, Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch here. Join me Saturday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern on the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment, as I look back on this year's Breeders' Cup. I welcome Breeders' Cup winning trainers Wayne Catalano and Michael McCarthy, plus a special visit with Carl Woods, the starting gate crew member, taken off by ambulance before the juvenile turf. We also go in the room with Sean Clancy, take a stroll through racing history with Kurt Becker, and wrap it all up with trainer Dale Romans and turf writer Tim Wilkin in our weekly I Ask, They Answer segment. It's all on the Equine Forum Saturday, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201 and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
And they prod for the lead now with Skygaze and Patrick Husbands three wide. Saratoga Vision running with Art of Almost from the back. A Fleet Catherine's last, but in front, it's Juxtapose. Crystal Glacier, Skygaze given full bore. Here's Art of Almost swapping them, though. Art of Almost has run to the front on the extreme outside. Now Skygaze called up in second, but Art of Almost has run free. And Emma Jane Wilson has got this one won. Art of Almost in the Ontario Matrix. Stakes by a length and a quarter to Skygaze. Third placing Juxtapose, followed on the inside by Crystal Glacier. Then Saratoga Vision at last was a Fleet Catherine.
Stretch call of Art of Almost winning the Grade 3 Ontario Matron at Woodbine back on October the 10th. Bob, I don't know what the term swamping them means, but I guess that means bad news for all the rest of the competition because that's the call for Art of Almost in that stretch run of the Ontario Matron. She got the job done at just under 9-1 that day. She's 8-1 once again on the morning line for tomorrow's Grade 3 Maple Leaf at Woodbine. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich taking you around North America for 12 big stakes races this weekend. So let's head up north of the border for a couple of graded stakes tomorrow, Bob, and that Grade 3 Maple Leaf, $150,000 on the line for fillies and mares, going a mile and a quarter on the main track at Woodbine. And, of course, the main track is a synthetic surface at Woodbine. Big field of 10 going the classic distance of a mile and a quarter. And several different ways you can go in this spot.
Yeah, really interesting race. Really good race for $150,000 at the tail end of the Woodbine season, where, as you mentioned, they've got the Tapita, so the rainy cold weather shouldn't be too much of a factor here at all. On that surface, some significant notes about this race. Is there a better horse in training than the 10 in here, Lake Lucerne, who's by Dubowie out of Round Pond, who of course won the Breeders' Cup Distaff? She's in form. She's had a good season.
Well, wait a minute. You said, is there a better horse in training, meaning a better bred horse?
I'm sorry.
Because I'm going to say yes, there are better horses in training than Lake Lucerne.
Yeah. Yeah, no, thanks for the correction. No, I'm saying, is there a better bred horse in training than her? You know, could be the world's best stallion out of a Breeders' Cup Distaff winning mare. And so she's fits. She looks to do her best running on turf. Another point, how is Art of Almost going to be 8-1 in here? It seems as though Art of Almost will be a much shorter price. Skygaze, who she beat last time, has been on a real roll. She's put together six really good races in a row. I think she might be over the top. La Lune's kind of an interesting shipper here. She ran a poor race at a short price in the Dowager at Keeneland. So she goes up to Canada for trainer Ed Vaughn to make her debut on a synthetic surface. She's bred for it. It'll be interesting to see if she rebounds in this spot. I landed on, with my selection, the number one, Merveilleux is her name, which is French for marvelous. Very live connections of Stein and Kevin Attard. This, even though she has not won this year, she's had just five races. You have to put a line through her performance in the EP Taylor. It might have been too tough. She might have not liked the yielding turf. She's come back and trained very well. She was going very well at the end of the Woodbine season last year, and I think she fits, and I think she's going to get a very nice trip tracking the pace from the inside, and I think the Painter Filly will be a bigger price than her listed morning line of 3-1. I think Merveilleux will be very tough in the spot.
All right, number one, Merveilleux for Bob in the Maple Leaf. I'm going to go with a little bit of a question mark here in number four, Sister O'Toole for Graham Motion and jockey Kaz Kimura. Sister O'Toole has never raced on a synthetic surface, so there's a big question mark there. Now, she does run very well on turf courses, and the thinking with synthetic surfaces is, one, the horses who like turf racing will like synthetic surfaces and vice versa, and that's why they've installed that third surface in at Gulfstream. So instead of all the horses scratching when they come off the turf going to the main track, they stay in the race for the most part and run on a surface that's closer to what turf horses would like. So it doesn't work out all the time that way, but I know Sister O'Toole on turf is very good. I know she can handle a mile and a quarter. In fact, her last win came at a mile and a quarter on the turf at Belmont Park, and she didn't run that poorly behind My Sister Nat in the Grade 3 Wyatt last time out. We saw My Sister Nat come back and run a really good race in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf just this past weekend. So I think Sister O'Toole has everything going for her, except we just don't know how she'll enjoy the surface. At 8-1, I'm willing to take a chance, Sister O'Toole for me, in tomorrow's Grade 3 Maple Leaf Race 7 on the Woodbine card. Race 8 tomorrow at Woodbine is another graded stake, the $175,000 Bessarabian Grade 2 here, 7 furlongs for fillies and mares, sprinting on the main track. Nice field of 9 here, Bob, and another race where there are several different directions you can go.
Yeah, I think there's a really exciting filly in here, Bobby. I think the 4-horse Lady Spatespear, who's undefeated 3-for-3, she's going to try this. The only caveat is she is trying the sense for the first time. She's flashed a lot of ability in all three of her starts, including winning the Natalman, her second start at 2. Obviously, her preparation for this season was interrupted. She had nearly a full year off before coming back and proving her mettle again September 6th. She's going to take another swing at maintaining her undefeated record in the Bessarabian. She's training very well for it, and she's my selection under the Emma Jane Wilson for the Hall of Famer Roger Atfield, homebred for Charles Sipke. We're all familiar with those silks, and her dam, Lady Shakespeare, is a true blue hen. She's been a marvelous broodmare for many years, so I think that the ultra-classy, undefeated Lady Spatespear bears watching in this spot.
Okay, I agree. I like number 4, Lady Spatespear, as well. And even though she's never raced on the synthetic surface, she's trained all along at Woodbine, kind of splitting time between training on their main track and training on the turf. And it looks like, you can't really tell how she handles the surface as far as times go, but the times are solid for the workouts. 5 furlong works anywhere from 59 and change to a minute and change. That's pretty solid, and going with the assumption that she's not whipped and driven and all out to get those 59 and changes and a minute and changes, then it looks like she'll handle the surface. And I agree with everything you said, Lady Spatespear. For me,
I don't think they would risk her if they didn't think that she really relished it as well. I mean, she sort of has nothing to prove. She's a reigning champion. I assume that she'll be a broodmare at some stage in her career. Who knows if she'll even come back at 4. I just think she's going to be really interesting to watch in this spot, and I hope she can pull it off.
My guess is that if she performs well tomorrow in the Bessarabian or wins the Bessarabian, it opens up – so many more doors for what they can do with her going forward, whether they want to try her on the turf, try her on synthetic surfaces, and who knows, maybe on conventional dirt down the line. But Bob and I both like Lady Spitesbear, number 4, 4-1 on the morning line in the Grade 2 Bessarabian, race 8 tomorrow over at Woodbine. Let's take the long flight out to the Bay Area, Bob, and they've got a featured race tomorrow at Golden Gate called the Golden Nugget. $50,000 on the line for the two-year-olds, sprinting 6 furlongs. Another short field here, just 5 of them going to post. And you've got number 2, Come On Man, who's looked very good since arriving at Golden Gate. Got his maiden win from well off the pace going away. Beat winners from well off the pace going away last time out.
Bill McLean's stable's in outstanding form. He trains Come On Man. They've been firing on all cylinders. He picked the horse out for a group of owners that have had several horses with him and currently have several in the barn. $8,000 looks like a steal at this point. They got a good one. Yeah, just basically simply with Come On Man, you got to throw out the first lifetime start. I remember it clearly, just got completely eliminated at the start, overcame that experience, went home, softer competition, and kind of pretty impressively at handsome prices, dusted 2 fields, including putting up a really big number on September 24th when winning an optional claimer, a other than race. It just doesn't look like in this 5-horse field that there's a whole lot to compete against him. There is some speed to the outside from the incredibly high percentage barn of Jonathan Wong. The only way I can see Come On Man getting beat would be if Stanford Bade gets loose, and generally speaking, the Tappet of there plays very fairly, and I think Come On Man at a very short odds will pick the race up.
Well, Come On Man looks like he's definitely going to be passing horses. Stanford Bay looks like he's definitely going to be trying for the lead. There are other horses in the race who could bother Stanford Bay in the early going or maybe even get the lead from him. Number 3, Dr. Pescado. Number 4, Highland Ghost have both shown some speed at one point. Obviously, if either of them annoy Stanford Bay on the front end, all it does is really play into the hands of the favorite Come On Man. I think even money is a reach as far as this, and that's a shame, because if you've been a fan of Come On Man, he was 5-1 when he broke his maiden 2 starts back. He was almost 9-1 last time out against winners, and now you're going to have to take around, I don't know, 4-5 in a minor stake in the Golden Nugget. But it is what it is, and he's gotten really good really fast. Bob and I both like number 2, Come On Man, in the Golden Nugget, race 7 tomorrow at Golden Gate. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we've got more Saturday stakes action. We're going to head back out to Maryland, where we'll look at 3 races from Laurel. This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premium perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Live racing is back at Churchill Downs October 31st through November 28th with the same strong purses we've had all year, and you are not going to want to miss it. Highlighted by the graded stakes such as the Grade 3 Chalukie, the Grade 2 Falls City, Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club, and the Grade 2 Goldenrod, along with the Grade 1 Clark, this November meet is sure to be full of excitement. For more racing information and to get your tickets today, visit ChurchillDowns.com. That's ChurchillDowns.com.
If it happens in horse racing, it happens on HRRN.
Broom and Yabir down to the wire. It is Yabir and William Buick to win the turf. Here comes Dunbar Road. They're coming to the wire. And it is, oh, it's desperately close. Was it Marsh Lorraine or was it Dunbar Road? Medina Spirit, Hot Rod Charlie, Essential Quality. Nick Go, a superstar, wins the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Racing's biggest events are right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hi, this is Doug O'Neill. My favorite radio show is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
Josie Istan Council together as they make the swing in. It's Istan Council inside, Josie outside. They came together at the top of the stretch. Josie maybe a nose in front. Istan Council battling back down on the inside. It's Josie and Fernando de la Cruz a narrow lead. Istan Council, Sophie Doyle fighting hard, but Josie's too good. Josie wins the distaff. Istan Council second, Himiko was third, and Blessed Again.
I know that guy. Josie winning the 2021 Iowa Distaff this past summer up at Prairie Meadows. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich taking you through 12 big races from around North America this weekend. Before we get to back to the stakes look, it's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Mind Control to freshen in Florida, point for Carter. Red Oak Stable and Matacat Stables Mind Control scratched from the November 6th Big Ass Fans Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at Del Mar after running a temperature, is recovering at San Luis Rey Equine Hospital in Southern California and will not race until 2022, Red Oak Racing Manager Rick Sacco told TVG. In a November 11th interview with TVG's Scott Hazelton at the Keeneland November Breeding Stock Sale, Sacco said the horse is, quote, thriving and would leave in about 5 days to travel to Red Oak Farm near Ocala. Quote, we're going to point for the Grade 1 Carter, a 7-furlong race at Aqueduct in early spring, he told TVG. Quote, there was great interest from Kentucky Farms, and there is interest from Japanese investors who wanted him to stand as a stallion. But speaking to Steve Brunetti of Red Oak Stables and Saul Kuhman of Matacat Stables, their game, Sacco added. They'd like to go out to the races, and we're going to run them again next year. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. Have the latest racing, breeding, sales, and industry news and analysis, plus entries, results, race replay videos, and more at your fingertips with the Blood Horse Daily app for your phone, updated throughout the day, or delivered daily in an email, or listen on your Alexa device. All are free. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily to download the app or sign up. Awarded as the best equine-related publication by the American Horse Publications for the second year in a row, it's Blood Horse Daily. Once again, Bobby Newman and Bob Nastanovich here on the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. 12 big stakes races to look at this weekend, and we've got three more to look at on tomorrow's card, Bob, and we're going to head back out to Maryland where they've got three nice stakes at Laurel Park. Races 6, 7, and 8 on their card tomorrow. Starting with the sixth race, the $100,000 Smart Halo Stakes for two-year-old fillies going 6 furlongs on the main track. We've got a field of 8 fillies set to go to post here, and the favorite on the morning line is #1 Trade Secret for Steve Asmussen and Fergal Lynch.
Well, Bobby, I had a question for you. Does it make you self-conscious when you hear playbacks of your race calls?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I try to avoid scheduling the playbacks of the race calls. Right? We're trying to play playbacks of races that involve horses that are major players in some of the stakes that we're looking at. And as it turns out, Josie has a big chance in a
right.
stakes race this weekend.
Absolutely.
So, I do feel a little bit of I guess, home pride, as it will, even though, you know, Iowa is not my actual home. But the fact that two horses who competed on the same night this past summer in Iowa, July the 3rd, both ended up running in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Of course, the winner, Nick's Go, as well as Stiletto Boy, who won the Iowa Derby. So those races, even though they weren't the biggest fields over the summer at Prairie Meadows and some of those stakes, they yielded some really nice racehorses who have gone on to prove themselves other parts of the country.
Yeah, Blinkers, who ran second in the Sailorville, we talked about her briefly. She'll be in action this weekend and breaking the rail in the Dream Supreme at Churchill. Race looks too tough for her, I'm afraid. Anyways, the two-year-olds in the Mid-Atlantic region look like a pretty interesting group. We're starting off with the two-year-old fillies. There's eight of them going in the Smart Halo. Pretty tough race. I think that Intrepid Daydream, the two horse in here, 4-1 morning line odds, is pretty interesting. Obviously, wasn't clued in, breaking from the starting gate in her debut on September 25th at Delaware. And then what I would kind of assume to be sort of a rare race to get to go with seven horse, a mile and a 16th maiden race at Delaware. She was in a league all of her own. She ended up winning by 16 3/4. Now, she's going away from her home track, like several of these, including the horse from the rail, who's trained by Steve Asmussen, which means that she's kind of already been everywhere. She's raced at Churchill, Saratoga, Monmouth, Kentucky Downs on the Grass, and Indiana Grand. Now, in her seventh lifetime start, she makes the trip to Laurel. So if nothing else, in addition to being able, she must be very tough. Then there's a few very nice local horses in the race. My eye is drawn to a horse that had a horrendous trip last time. It's the three horse in here, Lunabelle, 6-1 morning line. Notable jockey switch from Horacio Caramanos to Dennis Araujo, who has definitely been leading rider at Charlestown. I'm not sure if Smith got disgruntled with Horacio Caramanos after the last ride in which she was favored and looked like she was putting in a winning move and got stopped. But she's already proven in her five-race career that she's a hard-trying sort and that she's a talented closer. She's improved for the switch from turf to dirt, and she looks very live in the spot, especially considering that there's a fair amount of pace in here and that she'll definitely close ground. She's my selection, the three Lunabelle. I think she gets there today.
All right, so number three, Lunabelle at 6-1 for Bob in the Smart Halo. I'm going to go to the filly you originally were talking about, and that is number two, Intrepid Daydream. I liked that win going a mile in the 16th last time out. I like the fact that Jamie Rodriguez sticks with Intrepid Daydream instead of going back to Buy the Best, who was aboard last time out for a two-length win against winners at Delaware Park. Looked like Jamie had a choice in the race and chose Intrepid Daydream. And doesn't bother me a little bit that Intrepid Daydream is going back from a route to a sprint. The fact that they debuted this one in a stake first time out, I think Gary Capuano and his team have had high hopes for this daughter of Jess's dream all along, and I think they're just coming to fruition now. So Lunabelle for Bob, Intrepid Daydream for me in the sixth race at Laurel tomorrow, the Smart Halo.
Oh, quick note, Bobby. Quick note. You know who Jess's dream is, don't you? The sire.
Go ahead.
That's the by Curlin out of Rachel Alexandra. Raced one time and now is actually off to a very good start as a freshman stallion. So Intrepid Daydream for all those Jess's Dream fans. Stands for 4,000 somewhere in Ocala, but obviously an incredibly well-bred stallion whose career was cut short for Asmussen and Stoneshare. I believe just raced one time at Saratoga and won impressively, and then an injury led to his early stud career.
Very fragile animals. You just never know when something's going to happen like that. But good to know. And it's not going to make me bet any more on Intrepid Daydream. I'm still going to like her just the same. I appreciate that. Seventh race tomorrow at Laurel is the $100,000 James F. Lewis III Stakes. These are the two-year-olds going 6 furlongs on the main track. Got a field of 8 as well here, Bob, and the morning line favorite is number 2, Run to Daylight.
Yeah, Run to Daylight's kind of interesting. He's definitely the king of the West Virginia breds, isn't he? Nobody can run with him over there at Charlestown. He's very well bred for a West Virginia bred. Obviously, this is a horse whose damn daylight's coming. They took her to Claiborne Farm to have a date with Run Happy, and James Franklin Miller, the breeder, brought her home, had a pretty nice foal, took her back to Keeneland for the sale last year and sold her for $60,000. And whoever paid the $60,000 has been handsomely rewarded. That's owner David Rame. Three easy wins at Charlestown, two going 4.5, one going 6.5, in which he closed ground nicely. So the gelded son of Run Happy obviously has ability. This is a new environment for him at Laurel. It's a different layout, obviously. Entirely different set of circumstances. I'm drawn to a sort of a horse that's very interesting to me in here, and that's the 8. My selection is No Sabe Nada, which I believe unfortunately means I don't know anything, or I know nothing.
Sergeant Schultz would be be all over this horse in Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah, exactly. No Sabe Nada. $2,000 gelding. So, I love horses that are bought cheaply and overachieve, and No Sabe Nada, the son of Jersey Town, out of a more than ready mare, was ignored probably near the end of the Keeneland sale last September. And he's proven that he's a pretty serious racehorse. Definitely caught the eye at 9-1 in his debut. Closed ground really, blew apart a field of two-year-old maidens, and you know how those races go. Could be a mixed bag. You never know if it's a tough maiden race or not, but the figure proves that he exhibited talents at first out. He's had 4 races, and he's very honest, and he's run well in every one. Notably, when he stretched out to a mile last time on October 16th in the Rocky Run Stakes, he ran a good race, and he was pressed for a long time on the lead, and basically, like a lot of horses do their first time around, 2 turns, he just got a little bit late and backed up at the end. He's worked well since. He turns back to an appealing distance. Also a shipper, but to me more of a proven commodity. I land on the 8, No Sabe Nada, who's trained by a guy that I'm completely unfamiliar with, he's obviously a new trainer because he's had 12 starts this year and he's won 4 races. So I think he's trying very hard, and I think that that'll be my selection here.
Well, he's had 12 starts this year. It's trainer Scott Peck, and 4 of them were with number 8, No Sabe Nada. By the way, not only 4 wins from 12 starts, but 8 in the money finishes from 12 starts, and 4 of those 8 in the money finishes were with this 2-year-old. I agree, number 8, No Sabe Nada at 4-1. Looks appetizing. We're both going to pick him on top in the James F. Lewis III race 7 tomorrow at Laurel. 8th race on the Laurel card is the $100,000 38 Go-Go. Fillies and mares here going a mile and a 16th on their main track. Nice field of 9 to go to post. And we heard in the rejoin Josie winning the Iowa Distaff back on July 3rd at Prairie Meadows. Since then, she's tried the Groupie Doll at Ellis Park and the Twixt over at Laurel. Hasn't gotten to the winner's circle in those races, but hasn't run poorly either. She's one of the ones to beat.
Yeah, no, they don't give away money at Laurel very easily because this is also a pretty interesting, contentious field of 9. One thing I'm trying to figure out about this race is the 4 horse. Perhaps you can help me with the answer. The 4 horse off topic, who's 30-1 in the morning line, is a grade 1 place filly. She finished 3rd behind Guarana, who, of course, was pretty awesome that season in the Coaching Club American Oaks last July. She came back. She ran okay in the Alabama behind Dunbar Road. Obviously, for a brief period in her career, was definitely a top-notch and very competitive grade 1, grade 2 type horse. Since then, her form has faded, and she switched barns to the Phil Schoenthal barn, who's been around for quite a while now and is a very successful trainer from Pletcher to Phil Schoenthal. I'm trying to figure out why she's still in training. She's a 5-year-old mare by Street Sense out of an Include mare. She's well-bred. She's grade 1 placed. I'm trying to figure out what she's still doing. Here, maybe this is her last race before she goes off to stud. Do you have an opinion on that?
No, my opinion is she's just not like you. She's just not the same now in 2021 that she was back in 2019, and she's not even a shell of herself right now. But who knows?
Right.
Maybe they're giving her one last chance. Maybe she's shown enough pep in the mornings that at least they're thinking that she doesn't, she's not done with it, and they'll try one more time, and who knows? But
could be.
It sounds like neither of us like her in this race. Who'd you
like? No, I like Josie. I like Josie. I think Josie will win. I think just like Stiletto Boy, who won the Iowa Derby, you mentioned earlier, she was sold soon after at facing Tipton. She brought $300,000 a few days after she won the Iowa Distaff, which at the time I thought was a lot of money. She was an $170,000 yearling by a Tappet stud called Race Day. She made, I guess, sort of what you call a lateral move in racing from the Brad Cox barn to the Steve Asmussen barn. She was purchased by Katie Rich Farms, which is an ownership group that's been around for a while. Mostly they've employed a trainer called Mark Hubley. Are you familiar with him?
Sure.
You know the rock band Il La Tango. Have you ever heard of them?
No, I know who Pavement is. That's about
okay. it. Okay. Yeah, Il La Tango is actually kind of a big deal. Label mates of mine, Georgia Hubley is the drummer for Il La Tango, and Mark is her brother. So it's kind of a rare rock and horse racing connection, so I try to slip him in whenever I can. Josie's my selection. I think that although she finished second, or third, I'm sorry, behind Artful Splatter, who reopposes here, I think that she had a pretty tough go last time. She tried to circle the field four wide. It didn't work out. I think it's worth noting that Fergal Lynch rides at an incredibly high percentage for the Asmussen barn, which quite frankly might be looking for a rider for Oaklawn Park here in the coming weeks, and I think that Fergal Lynch would like to consider himself on that list. So my selection is Josie, the Iowa Distaff winner. I think she'll put it together again and reward Katie Rich with her first win for them.
Okay, I like Josie as well. I think this is a good spot for Bob and I agree. Josie, 9-5 on the morning line in the 38 Go-Go, tomorrow's eighth race over at Laurel. We're done with the Saturday action. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll look at some of the Sunday stakes action. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Nyra Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Nyra Betts. Sign up for Nyra Betts today and take advantage of premium perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Nyra Betts today with the promo code HRRM200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRM200. With Nyra Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NyraBetts.com.
Watch and wager on world-class racing from Woodbine Racetrack with Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday post times at 12:55 Eastern and a Friday post time of 4:45 Eastern. Don't forget, on March 13th, we have the Grade 3 Maple Leaf Stakes for fillies and mares, and on the 14th, the Grade 2 Autumn Stakes for three-year-olds and up. With racing now through December 4th and plenty of weekend stakes, you are not going to want to miss out on the action at Woodbine. For more information on racing and handicapping, visit woodbine.com.
Coming this November, it's the America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards. Covering the best of the sport and lifestyle, all decided by the fans. Here's your chance to vote. The America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards.
The thrill of thoroughbred racing is back at Laurel Park. The brand new dirt surface and world-class turf course are ready for the races. Spend an afternoon dining with someone special at your choice of restaurants. Grab a bite with friends at the food court or relax and enjoy racing action from around the world in the sports bar. Laurel Park has it all. The beer is cold, the action is hot, and the horses are fast. Nothing beats a day at the track. Live racing Thursday through Sunday, post time 12:40 p.m.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. This week, I take a look back at the racing career of Artie Schiller. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 219 or XM 201, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
Runaway Rumor now moves up, then Alda, and Bubbles on Ice, and they're coming for the top of the stretch. It is Bye-Bye closest to the rail. Love Struck is there. Sussex Garden on the outside, Navigian Sunrise. Alda is rallying now down towards the rail. Runaway Rumor on the extreme outside. Navigian Sunrise is coming on. It is wide open here, and here comes Runaway Rumor now to grab the lead. Manon moves to second, but it will be the New York bred Runaway Rumor to win by 3/4 of a length. Manon finished second, and Navigian Sunrise was third.
Ah, you can hear the excitement in Johnny Brial's voice when the New York Breds beat Open Company, and that's exactly what Runaway Rumor did this past June in the wild applause at Belmont Park, getting up in time to win at a nice price, paying somewhere in the range of about 13, 14 to 1. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts, Bobby Newman, and Bob Nastanovich on this Friday evening. Folks, all the best fall and winter horse racing awaits at tracks like Santa Anita, Gulfstream, the Big A, and many more. It all starts with Naira Betts. With Naira Betts, new users can enjoy a $200 sign-up deposit match bonus anytime. Just use the promo code HRRN200 and get in the action today. That's promo code HRRN200 for a $200 sign-up deposit match anytime at NairaBets.com. All right, the Saturday action is done. Time now to look at the Sunday action, and the featured race at Aqueduct this Sunday is the $150,000 Winter Memory Stakes for three-year-old fillies going a mile and a 16th on the turf. Bob, we have a big field of 12 set to go to post.
Great race. Let's hope it stays on the grass and all of these fillies get to compete. It's a really intriguing renewal. I landed on Gam's Mission. One of my handicapping angles in general in regards to the Saratoga meet is you got to watch those races and look for bad trips. This is a filly that's run six times in her life. She's had one trip that was bad. She only got beat 4 3/4. Her path August 8th in the Saratoga Oaks Invitational was a throw-out race. If you do that, she's never run a bad race. I expect her to be back on her game. She's training well for the outstanding trainer, Sherry DeVoe, and I think she's got a very live chance at a square price. Gam's Mission, number 4.
All right, Bob, going with number 4, Gam's Mission, this Sunday at Aqueduct, and the morning lines are out as of now at Aqueduct. And we can tell you that Gam's Mission right now is 9-2 on the morning line. I'm going to go with the filly that we heard in the rejoin, number 11, Runaway Rumor, who's a little bit shorter on the line than I was hoping for, 7-2 on the morning line for Jorge Abreu and Jose Lescano. She has not won since that victory in the wild applause this last summer. She began her career with 3 consecutive wins, and then she's coming now off 4 losses in a row. Now, she has faced tougher company of late, whether it's Fluffy Socks or Technical Analysis or Spanish Love Affair, and doesn't have to face those in here. And even against that tougher company, she's running good races. She's not getting to the winner's circle. Don't love her post, but I think she's got – I think her consistency will be rewarded this Sunday. I'm going to go with Runaway Rumor, number 11, in the 8th race Sunday at Aqueduct, the $150,000 Winter Memories. Let's fly out west to Del Mar for their stake race on Sunday. It's the grade $300,000 Bob Hope Stakes for the 2-year-olds, sprinting 7 furlongs on the main track. Another short field in a stake this weekend at Del Mar, and like the previous day's Desi Arnaz, it's a race that probably goes through trainer Bob Baffert. He has 3 of the 5 runners in this race, including probably the 2 favorites and number 1 Messier and number 3 Winning Map.
Yeah, I mean, I know I've said quite a lot about some of the stakes races this weekend. One of the reasons I've done that is I don't really have that much to say about this race at all. It's got 3 of the 5 horses are trained by Bob Baffert. Obviously, whatever's gone on with him this year hasn't affected the horses that go into his barn. In the cases of these 3 colts, Messier costs $470,000, Kamui or Kamui costs $400,000, and Winning Map My Selection costs $525,000. The other 2 horses are a cowbred trained by Walter Solis, who's very competitive and admirable, and a horse that Richard Mandela trains, who actually beat Kamui first lifetime start. I think Winning Map might be the best of the group here. I guess really it's up to the Baffert Barn to decide. Makes the switch from Johnny V, who's going to be at Aqueduct, to Mike Smith, and I think we'll just control the pace, and I would assume that his stable mates won't mess up his win.
I agree. I like Winning Map in this spot. Don't love his morning line of 7-5, but you got to take what you got to take. He was 2-5 in his debut. Also like that they paid over $500,000 for him at a 2-year-old in training sales, so I think they have a little bit more of a chance to do their due diligence in these 2-year-old in training sales, where it's kind of a guessing game when you're buying them as weanlings or yearlings. 2-year-old in training sales, they're more developed. A lot of times you get to see them in these under tack shows working either an eighth of a mile or a quarter of a mile, and obviously they liked what they saw from Winning Map to give over $500,000 for him. Winning Map for both Bob and myself in the grade three Bob Hope Sunday at Del Mar. Featured race at Woodbine Sunday is the Grade 2 Autumn Stakes. $175,000 on the line for 3-year-olds and up, going a mile and a 16th on their main track, and a nice field of 8.
Yeah, nice field of 8, including a horse that we're very familiar with, a classic winner. Sir Winston, who's still at it, won the Belmont Stakes June 8th of 2019 under Joel Rosario. I can't remember exactly what happened to him, why he missed the rest of the season, but it was a minor injury, returned at Fairgrounds in the winter of 2019. Basically, it's taken a long time for him to get back to at or near his best, and I think trainer Mark Cassie has him there. He himself has a very interesting pedigree. He's by Awesome Again out of an Affleet Alex mare called La Grande Bayadora, who's the dam of Spanish Star, who's the dam of One Timer, of course, just ran for Larry Ravelli, albeit unsuccessfully, in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. So it comes from a very good family. Sir Winston has raced just twice this year, both at Woodbine, shown an affinity for the Tapita there, won his first start in nearly a year on August 19th, and came back and ran a very competitive race behind Special Forces, who he faces again, and I think he'll improve enough to get the job done in the Autumn Stakes.
All right, number 4, Sir Winston for Bob in the Autumn. I'm going to go to number 8, Mighty Heart. I don't think he had the best of trips last time out in the Durham Cup, hoping for a better trip despite the outside post, and maybe a little bit of a better price up from what he was 9-5 last time out. All 12 races in the books. It's time now for the Naira Betts Best Bet.
This is the Naira Betts Best Bet.
Take it away, Bob.
Yeah, my best bet is Merveilleux, which means marvelous, in the Grade 3 Maple Leaf on Saturday, the 7th race from Woodbine.
Well, your best bet's going to pay a lot more than my best bet if they both win. I took what I thought was low-hanging fruit with Ada in tomorrow's Desi Arnaz. I'm not going to say this is my best bet. It's my most likely winner of these races, because if Ada is somewhere around 1 or 2 to 5, I wouldn't be advising anyone to bet on her, but I think she's the most likely winner in all of the stakes this weekend. Reminder, the weekend is not over here on the network. We've got a huge edition of the Equine Forum tomorrow, presented by Woodbine Entertainment, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, where Mike Penna is joined by trainers Wayne Catalano and Michael McCarthy to look back on their Breeders' Cup wins this past Saturday. Byron King from Bloodhorse shares his thoughts on the 2021 Breeders' Cup and talks about who should be the 3-year-old male champion. Cricket Goodall, executive director of the MTHBA, discusses the impact of 2 Maryland breds taking home Breeders' Cup hardware. Bring you a special Unsung Heroes presented by Claiborne with Carl Dink Woods, the Starting Gate crew member who was loaded into an ambulance just prior to the running of last Friday's Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. another edition of I Ask, They Answer with trainer Dale Romans, and turf writer Tim Wilkin. Plus, Sean Clancy goes in the room with jockey Arnaldo Boca Chica. We take a stroll through racing history with Kurt Becker, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland, and bring you today's first bet, all part of an action-packed equine forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment tomorrow morning here on the network, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Bob, it has been a fun Friday here on the network, my friend. Really enjoyed having you on the Weekend Stakes Preview and on race day.
Thanks for having me, Bob. I really enjoyed it.
All right, we'll do it again soon, my friend. It's been a lot of fun. They're playing our song, so on behalf of our producer, Lee Delapina, my co-host, Bob Nastanovich, from the indie rock band Pavement, look it up on YouTube. Lots of their songs are there. I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks for joining us today and all week. Once again, another exciting edition of the Equine Forum tomorrow morning, 8 to 11 Eastern Time, brought to you by Woodbine Entertainment. And good luck this weekend, everybody. Have a great, safe weekend at the races.